In the Hebrew, that's Tov, T-O-V, T-O-B. And he's also gracious. And if he's gracious, that means he favors you. He favors you without even asking for it. He just simply wants to give you favor. That happened to Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. Noah, Moses, Abraham, and so on and so forth. So since God favors you, I probably can't lift this. Can you lift this? Yeah. Onward, Christian soldiers. No. But he's also merciful. And because he's merciful, he doesn't focus on what you've done. And the reason he doesn't focus on what you've done or left undone, he doesn't care. He doesn't care how your life lags behind your faith. He doesn't care. The only thing he's interested in is one thing. Your heart is disposed toward God because he says it is. It's not because you feel it. It's not because you want it. It's not because you're doing it because you had certain things going on. Not because you understand. You read the word of God because just by reading that word by which we live eternally, just by reading, you have eternal life. And he can qualify it in different ways, but basically he said, if you hear my word and believe that I told you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, nothing but the truth, which is Jesus. The truth is Jesus. So if we have the truth, we have Jesus. And if we have the whole truth, it's Jesus. And that's the gospel. That's the good news, that we being sinners repent of all those sins. That's a gift. And everything then we owe to God, who is alone. Sola Theos. Alone. God alone. Forgives you, cleanses you, purifies you, perfects you. And he does all of that because he loves you. He doesn't do that so you behave. But you do behave, but you actually do behave by not behaving, but by letting God, who does everything for you, because he's a loving father. So because of that, love will never, ever change. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He has never changed. And if you read the Old Testament, which we're going to read this morning, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, if you read that, you could get mixed up. You could get confused. And he wrote that so that everyone that reads the Bible will think it means what it says. And it does mean what it says. But what it means is not according to the letter of the law, which kills. Your soul is still full of sin. And when you sin, you don't sin from your heart. You have a new heart. You're regenerated. You have eternal life coursing through you because you live by every word that constantly, continually, present, active, indicative. It's the most real thing in grammar. Subjunctive moods and all those others are, they modify the word. But this one is, if your heart believes that God is good and that God is gracious and that God is merciful and that he has no problem with sin because he did that before the foundation of the world. He didn't do it because of your behavior later, because you weren't even born. You weren't even here. This was before the foundation of the world. He, the Son of God, was slain for your sins. So God forever says that the New Testament is older than the Old Testament. I've been teaching you that. And that's why God said, I want you to preach out of Deuteronomy. Because Deuteronomy sounds like a command. Because it uses the words which are translated in the King James Version, command. But the word actually in the Hebrew is not command. You know what it is in Hebrew? How many know Hebrew? Well, I happen to know that word. Mitzvah. M-I-T-S-A-V-A-H. Mitzvah. So if it's mitzvah, M-I-T-S-A-V-A-H, that could mean, it has a lot of meanings. But command could be one of them, could command you to do something, and it's ambiguous then. It's ambiguous. That word is ambiguous. But it has another word, precept, or it could be promise. Could actually be a promise. How do I know that? Because I read the Bible and it says, using the same word, mitzvah. Mitzvah is used by Abraham when he believed God's word. It's mitzvah. So it actually is a promise. And if you read the 12th chapter, which I'm going to read, you'll actually see that he has always been a loving father and he has never been an angry judge. And by reading the Old Testament, I'm going to prove to you that this is the exact word that he used. Sabah also, but mitzvah, meaning that he promised you something to Abraham and Jesus fulfilled it. And what does it mean? What does that word mean? Well, mitzvah actually means setting in order something that is out of order. In other words, healing, making whole again, referring to what it was before the world began. So when he restores to you the original intent that God had when he created the world. When he created the world, it's then a command or a decree, or it could be something that God spoke into being, but it has all these various meanings. I haven't even read them all. But it has to set something back in order that was disordered. And how many know that today's world illustrates that every day? You see people in America that are submitted to Jesus Christ, and you see people in today's world that believe in Confucius, or believe in Buddhism, or believe in Hinduism. All of those are idols. That is, they don't exist. They don't exist. They never have existed in the eyes of man because it isn't before the foundation of the world. So, but in Hebrew, mitzvah is translated that he put everything into a promise that's called a command. So in the Hebrew, it's called command in the King James Version. But it's not in Hebrew. In Hebrew, the original word is mitzvah. So it's putting something that's out of order back into order as an originally from eternity. And so the Old Testament is young compared to the New Testament, which is eternal. Does that make any sense to y'all?
Yes.
So I want you to say these words, mitzvah.
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah. That word, and I've studied that word, obviously, and looked all throughout the Old Testament. This is the most common word for the meaning, to set something up in order to return to the original thing being restored. That's powerful. So that God has always been merciful. He's always been gracious. He's always been good. He's always been a loving Father. That changed the world in 1516. when Martin Luther, who was the doctor of the scriptures, the doctor of the Bible, and having all this knowledge and understanding, he used the words in German, he used the words in Latin, he used the words in Hebrew, he used the words in Greek. So he knew all these languages inside out and backwards. And because he did, he used that word to translate command. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's amazing. And it converted him on the spot. And he wrote then, later, he wrote later and said, that day I've been born again. And what was odious to me because of a law that I tried to fulfill and being a good monk, I was an impeccable monk. You may fast once a month or something. I did it all the time, weeks on end, naked on the floor in the form of a cross to please God. And I realized I hated him. How many know that God can use language in such a way that if you pay close attention, you have the fear of God? You have the fear of God. Again, in Hebrew, King David, just before he died, these were the dying words of a man who knew his time was short. That would be just in maybe a week or two. He'd be dead. And so he wrote these words, Moshel ba'adam tzadik, Moshel yira Elohim. Now, the im on the end in the Hebrew is plural. So this word on the back of our thing are the first words. There are three words here. The be, B-E, the first word over here on your left, on my right, is in, and then Rosh, the beginning, and then on the end it's eat, which means those three words, in the beginning, the very beginning. So in the very beginning, so there can't be billions of years, there can't be evolution, it's completely false, a deception, a trick. And nobody believed it until the 19th century. Nobody. They took the word as a sacred word, and it said to everybody up until that moment, when somebody who couldn't even prove it, he just made a speculation and then tried to fill it in with all kinds of data. And that was Charles Darwin. But another guy also was teaching it as well. And they had a battle to which one would get the credit, and Darwin got it. And so his whole idea that man doesn't need God. In other words, you cannot trust the Bible. And since I'm an expert in 19th century history, because I read not only what a general book about the 19th century would tell you, but I read each of their works. So I knew Fichte, I knew, you know, Hegel, I knew everybody and all their works. I read them all. I still have them. I own them. And so since then, the doubt then became, and it traveled to America. So all of these people were following the humanistic, and that's all you have today is humanism. All you have in the government today is humanism. All you have anywhere is humanism. In other words, trust in man. But the Bible is very clear. Put not your trust in man. Put not your trust in the man. How many know that professors are liars? Even though they say something that sounds like truth, it's actually doubt. It's actually, they don't actually follow what the Bible says. Put your trust in the Lord. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. So humanism, which I'm an expert in, by reading all of these things, Dewey, all of them, for the whole 19th century, and it influenced America to give up God. And one of the parties today, a major party, actually has many times said God needs to be destroyed. He needs to be destroyed. That's the word. Destroy the throne and destroy God's rulership. And many people today, the millennials for sure, they just follow the leader. Whoever, whatever, and by the way, all these riots going on and so on, this is just all foreigners, not even people that live in Minneapolis, not even people that live in, you know, New York and California and whatever. So these are just hirelings. Somebody has set aside $5 billion in order to destroy 2 billion people on the earth. That's just one man. And there are other men equally wealthy and equally joined together to kill off at least 2 billion people because there's too many people in the world. So killing millions and billions of people is exactly the agenda because the earth cannot be sustainable. Now, you don't want to hear this, but you have to hear this because it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, which is provable. It's probable. It's something that actually has evidence. And these people are known. And by studying history and by studying all that, I chose then this year because God said, I want you to preach on Deuteronomy because it sounds like a command, but it's mitzvah, M-I-T-S-A-V-A-H. Mitzvah, and this is, I said, it's what someone like Avraham means the God of a multitude of people. Because remember, God said to him, look at the stars in the skies. Can you number them? Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and he couldn't number them. Now look at the sand of the sea and look at the dust of the earth. You'll have more children than these. Abraham in himself must have laughed. But the Bible says he believed God. So Abraham, who had no proof going for him, look at the star and think about you're going to have more kids than this. And his wife wouldn't even, she was barren. She couldn't even have kids. He said, no, you will have a child in the spring. What? And she laughed in her tent. And Abraham laughed. He said, I can't believe that. You're going to have a son. You'll be 100 and she'll be 90. He was 10 years her senior. And anyway, so Abraham being 100 and all he had is this little staff that he leaned on, you know. Hello, how are we? You know, she was 90 and had never had pleasure like that because she was barren. How many know it says in the Bible that the barren should sing out? The barren. I mean, we've been barren. We've been barren. I mean, you've been barren in the sense that you don't see what God said. You can't see it. You see it spiritually, but you don't see it actually with these eyes. You can't observe the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is within you. And since the kingdom of God is within you, why are you surprised that the devil, the god of this world, has a lot of influence over education, the media, politics, the military? And so certain people in the Air Force are God-fearing. Others are God-doubting. That's true of everything. Whatever you look at, it's divided into evil and good. And God says, I want people to believe on me without any proof. And Abraham believed God, and he had no proof. You look at the stars, and you went, wow, I see stars, and there's a lot of them. I can't even count them. God actually said, if you can count. Well, I can count, but not over 100 or not over 1,000. But I can't count that many. You'll have more children than that. You'll have more than the sand of the sea. You'll have more than just one beach alone has, you know, too many kids. And he said, there's no way I can believe that. But for some reason, I don't know why, I believe this guy. He said, well, you'll be the father of faith. And he had worshipped the sin god, the god of sin in Ur, and his father before him worshipped the same idol, Baal in the Bible. There's only two religions in the world, Baal, Jesus. You don't know that, but I'm telling you that. So you don't know that Baal is just simply confusion. It's just simply, and that's why he confused all the languages, so that no one could then figure anything out because people couldn't communicate. Today, they are trying to destroy Christian America. America's not Christian because it's divided. Half, you know, people that are lawless and half of the people are lawful. But they understand the law, and the only way you could be lawful, according to the scripture, is you'd have to be born not of the flesh, but you'd have to be born of the Spirit. And so we can read the Old Testament. And so I'm reading the Old Testament. So I'm going to read this Old Testament that if it says command, then we didn't read exactly what it said. Mitzvah. And if you just read the last part of this, I don't know how far I'll get. But if you just read the last part, it actually has those words right there. And it says, this is just 12. Okay, it says right here, trying to find the last word, verse. Blah, 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 blah. It's in my imagination, obviously. It's not here. But anyway, it says, everything that I command you, mitzvah, you shall be careful to do. Now, you would think that's not the gospel. You shall not add to it or take from it. Same thing the book of Revelation says. Never add to it or take away from it. This is something you're going to do, but you're going to do it not today. You're going to do it in the future. Someday, this is the millennial time, and it's even after the millennial time, then you will do it because you didn't do it. That's the reason. Because you didn't do it, you did it. How did you do it? And men, when they see your good works, they will not thank you. They will not glorify you. They will not marvel over what you did because they're saying you must be a child of the living God. So they say, they give God the glory. Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. Because God does everything. And he's always done everything. And he'll never not do anything, even in eternity. In eternity, these words still work. God is good. And Jesus added, and no one else is good but God. I mean, he shouldn't have said that. When you go to heaven, of course, you'll be good. How many believe that when you go to heaven, everyone will be good and you'll be good just like everybody? No, you didn't pay attention. If you had the fear of God, you'd read closely to what mitzvah means. Everything has been set in order. But the order is not you doing it, but Christ doing it for you, in you, through you. Because you are a new creation, kine katesis. New of a different kind than we've ever had, not natural anymore. You're not just born of the flesh. You're born of the Spirit of God. You're a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. And that's perfect, by the way. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So you are not you anymore, you're Christ in you. And you in Christ. So it's an intimate relationship, but it's derivative because all of the good comes from God and all the evil comes from you. But when he removes all your sins, which he's doing right now, today what he's doing is not dying on the cross, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What he's doing is removing all of it out of your soul, so your soul must die. Take up your cross and follow me. So take up your cross means you have a different cross than Jesus did. And that Jesus did it for everybody meant that everybody was died for and their sins have been forgiven. But nobody takes deliverance on that except us Christians. Somebody said they're foolish. Yeah, we are fools for Christ. We are. I am. I used to be totally against God. I'm totally for him. But that didn't happen because I just read the Bible. That happened because I read the Bible thinking it wouldn't do a thing because I didn't want to be a Christian. I wanted to sin, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Now, most of you were raised in church. I wasn't. And so, you know, I enjoyed sin, and I deceived everybody, tricked everybody. Didn't love my mother, didn't love my father, three of them. I didn't love anybody. I didn't care about anybody. I only cared about me. Because I was all I had. There's nothing else. If you kill me, I'm dead. I don't want to die. And all I want to do is survive every day. If I could just survive, that'd be awesome. Not even be happy. I knew how to drink a beer or anything like that. I knew how to be happy, but my happiness was when I wasn't looking for happiness. I was just trying to survive every day in a wicked world. Remember, Jesus said these words, I send you as sheep into the midst of the wolves. Isn't that funny? This is a loving thing on God's part. I send you as sheep in the midst of the wolves. I mean, the wolves are just waiting for a sheep to come by. They can devour. They're so excited. Here's a sheep. And many Christians fall away. They're apostate. They give up their faith. A lot of Christians give up their faith. They commit suicide. They just are, you know, doped out or whatever. So what? So what? Now, the only way you can make it as a sheep is to make sure the shepherd is not way out in front or way behind you, that he's right next to you. And Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Wow, that's a promise. Wow, there's a promise. Mitzvah. And Jesus fulfilled everything that Abraham was told to do. I will make you a great nation. I will, you know, make you personally great. I will, you know, if somebody curses you, I'll curse them. And if somebody blesses you, I'll bless them. And all the families of the earth, they'll be by you. Abraham. So the Abraham is the only one that's the father of faith, the only one that has the true religion in the world. And today, the Muslims claim Abraham. The Christians claim, and the Catholics claim, they all claim to be part of Abraham. Jesus had some words to say about that. Now, what if I read to you to say that Moses never preached the law, the holy law of God, to the children of Israel? What if I said that to you? That Moses never preached that. But everyone thinks he did, because it says commandment, you know, ordinances, or, you know, something that you have to do. But if you do it, you're sinning, according to God. If you do anything, then you would be one that could do a good work. You could will that work and then do it. How many know that today people are proud that I did that for God and I was humble about it? Well, not completely humble, but a little bit humble. So if he removes sin from you one day, you feel like I conquered sin today, and by tomorrow I'm sure I'm not going to sin that one. I'm not going to repeat that one. And then the next day, as a matter of fact, the next nanosecond, you're already thinking, hey, pass the cookies. You already forgot to look at Jesus, beholding him. We're changed from one degree of glory to another. And I think I did that. I chose that cookie. And so how many know that you cannot keep any of God's laws? No one ever has and no one ever will, because you're derivative. A derivative is something that you have, something, and it derives, you can derive something from it. Because you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not a religious person. Did you hear what I just said? Religion will not take you to heaven. Only the true religion, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What did you do? Nothing. Who created you? Christ. Who justified you? Christ. Who's sanctifying you? Christ. Who's glorifying you? Christ. I mean, he does everything for you because of his love, his grace, his power, his majesty. Everything is for you. God never did anything for himself. Never. He can't give you the command, you know, hey, put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in princes. Put your trust in man or princes. No, forget those. Put your trust in the Lord. Well, if God does that, God also is obligated to never leave you or forsake you. He's obligated to be your God forever and ever. World without end. No beginning, no end. Priest king. He's priest king, you're a priest king. He's the first fruits, you're the first fruits of the first fruits. So everything God is doing to you, you had nothing to do with. You didn't do anything at any time. Mitzvah. It's a promise. It's just a promise. He's describing you. He's in a promise. You're the promisee. He's the promiser. E-R. He's the promiser, and you're the promisee, and that creates a right in you to believe that Jesus will keep his promise. That's it. It's as simple as that. I mean, I just reduced the whole Bible to one doctrine. Somebody was talking about a doctrine today. One doctrine. God keeps his promise. That's it. That's it. If you just believe that God, who says, see the stars, see the sand, see the dust and so on, you'll have more kids than this. If you believe that, you're crazy. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Because nobody could even imagine that. And if you think you can understand that, you're lying. You're deceiving yourself, and then you'll deceive others. And so this Christianity is hard to share. You'd have to live it. Your walk would have to be lined up with your faith. So faith is how you're born again, but then that you're born again doesn't produce any good works. You're born again, but it doesn't produce work. I thought, if I'm born again, I have a new heart, I'll just do something out of my heart. You can't, because you're not dead. So before you can love your neighbor as yourself, you'd have to stop loving yourself. You'd have to hate. You'd have to despise your ability to be good. How many know that's what divorce is all about? You know, you marry someone, under an illusion, of course. You marry someone that you think, this will be good. This will be good. I love that. I love that. So the first thing I say with people come to have, you know, we love each other. Oh, that's cute. That's cute. That's good. Could you say you love each other until they sin? I hadn't thought about that because they were enjoying the love. And you can come up with any reason you want to. The person you live in is an enemy. And I always tell people, you're a sinner and you're going to marry a sinner. Well, no, she's good. How many know women are better than men? I mean, some people think that. I think women sin just as much as men. I mean, equal. So you're gonna marry another sinner. That'd be two sinners, kind of demons competing with one another. Who's going to be the boss? How many know marriage doesn't work? Marriage does not work. How many know that marriage doesn't work? He designed it that way, that it doesn't work without God. But in God, you found out, Walter, Teresa, that you can't get along. And, you know, the best thing to do is the easiest thing. Get rid of them. Have a Mack truck drive over them, something. I can't stand that person anymore. Because we're sinners. Because of your soul. Yourself has to die. So self-government, that's how they made the nation America. Self-government, it's all about self. Who is the self? If you're a sinner, But if I'm born again, then I'm not a sinner, or am I? You see, how many know Christians you cannot trust? He could have added that. Don't even trust another Christian. Because Christians, if they're your painter, they probably paint a scripture and leave. I mean, they're not going to finish the job right. Scott, you don't do that. You don't write scriptures all over the wall. You know, because you can't trust a Christian, you know, that buries you. You can't trust a lawyer that's a Christian and so on and so forth. You can't. And even though they sound good, they're just talking. Bible says you cannot trust anybody. Nobody. No man. No humanism. No man in his best state. And the Bible has a scripture on that. Psalm 35. It says something like this. Man in his best state is altogether nothing. 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 How many know you are nothing? You are created ex nihilo in the Latin, which means you were created out of nothing. God just spoke and there was light. God just spoke and there was... See, he created it by a word. So he just spoke and that it was right there. So if God is still speaking, and if he ever stops, you'll be dead. But if he's still speaking, he's saying something like this. I love you. I love you. I say that to my wife every single day. Peg, I'm so blessed. Not only to be married to you, I'm married way over my head, but I'm blessed to be married to you. What a blessing God has given me. You are the best. And then we argue after that. But anyway, and she used to say, in being married to me, he does everything wrong and I do everything right. She used to say that. Because in her mind, she was raised by parents that insisted on that. And she realized they fought with one another. So she made a vow when she was little. She made a vow. When I get married someday, I'm not going to marry an Irishman. Well, she didn't say that, but that's what she was thinking. And the first second we met, I was sitting on a table in the student lounge. And first day of college, when you get orientation and so on. And then at night, we all went down to the student union. And I was sitting on a table, and when I saw Peggy walk through the door, I watched her and I said, I'm going to marry that girl someday. That's powerful. Love at first sight. I didn't know anything about her or her name or anything. But I calculated from that moment on how to get rid of any competitors and so on and so forth. I'm going to marry that girl. And I did. And I won't tell you the rest. But it's interesting. It's interesting. But we have 4 beautiful children, all Christians. 11 grandchildren, all Christians. They're all of them. And so it's amazing. Because how do you do that? You don't. God does everything. To God be the glory. So everything is glorified, right? Because I let God do everything and I do nothing. I get all the blessing. He gets all the burden. I get all the blessing. He gets all the burden. It's real easy. So when it says in the Bible, as Christ loved the church, so every man, not just Christians, not just Jewish people, let every man love his wife. When I read that, I was convicted right away. Uh-oh, I think I've goofed up a little bit because I always wanted to be a dominator. I always wanted never to say I was sorry. I just wanted to use her for my own happiness and pleasure. And since she was a sap, she just did that for a long time. I mean, Peggy would do something because she had made a vow. Remember, she made that vow. And I was smart to get a person that would make a vow like that. And I said, I think I could live with this girl because she's going to do everything I say because I'll be the boss. And I understood that, you know, the man is the head of the house. But I noticed in reality, it wasn't that way at all. It wasn't that way. I mean, I won't tell you any details, but, you know, the thing is not working out the way God, I thought he said, the boss. It's that way in Africa, isn't it, Obo? The women always walk behind you. They always, you know, bow like this, don't even come and eat with you and all that kind of stuff. So you see that, and it's reality. I mean, they still do in Uganda, but we changed Uganda. So now we're the biggest organization called Born Again Believers in the whole country. We're one-fifth, one of every five is part of our group, biggest group in the whole country. So we've changed Uganda from Muslim-dominated to Christian-dominated. Isn't that amazing? And because of that, we feed, you know, thousands of children, and we built all the buildings, bought all the cows, pigs, chickens, you know, goats, and so on and so forth. So they have, we bought the land, we bought the buildings, we did all the infrastructure. Now we gave it to them for free. No, you don't owe us anything. It's just yours. And so it's kind of exciting because all I have to do is talk to Joel. Yael. Yah is God and El is God. God, God. But he was actually named after the demon in Lake Victoria. There's a certain name that this demon has. And this demon of the lake, the second biggest lake in the world, the demon of that one was his name because if anything happened to anybody, he had to die. He had to pay for that. And everybody hated him. When he became a Christian, he decided to change his name to Yael Joel. Because he knew, hey, I like Joel. God, God. Because he didn't want everyone to hate him, despise him. Which the whole family rejected him. Because if any rape took place or anything, he was the fault. And he had to pay for it. So he naturally, when he became a Christian, a born-again Christian, then he joined this group that was going. And so when he was here in this church, I remember he was standing right about here. He was listening to me. And he said, I'm going to ask that man if he could come to my country and speak. I like the way he speaks, saying the truth. I like that. So I said, he said, could you come and visit my church? And I'm standing right here, just a few feet away. And I said, no, I'm not coming to your country. So forget it. Well, would you mind if I prayed for you? Sure, you can pray all you want. I'm not going. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to go. Well, just pray about it. No, I'm not going to pray. Did you hear me? I'm not going to pray. I've had some experiences, and I'm not going to repeat those. So I'm not going to do that. So that's it. And I felt good about that. I justified that right away. Not even going to pray about it because I don't want God to say, yeah. I don't want that. So I've been to several countries, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a sugar daddy for anybody. I don't want to be used. I used to use people, but now I'm Christian now. So it's okay. But anyway, he prayed, and all of a sudden, one day, I decided, yeah, I'll go. But I asked myself the question, why this country? It's not even as big as Zaire. It's not even as big as, you know, it's just not that big. But anyway, he said, that is the key right there. You just right there. That is a geopolitical center of the world. Today, it's the breadbasket for the world. You don't know that. I'm just telling you that. And so this country, you have three seasons, because it's right on the equator. It's right on the equator. And so you have three seasons. So you can grow something and then grow another thing and then grow another thing, all in one thing. So you're the basket, because all you have to do is put just this long, this little stick like this, put that stick right in there, and a little while you have a whole banana, just, you know, forest, just like that. So that's one thing they can eat every day, bananas. Because that thing, that soil is so rich. It looks like West Texas. I mean, it really does. It looks similar. But you just put that thing in the ground, and all of a sudden it comes forth, banana. And it's flourishing today, and it's still flourishing. Because we have bought over, let's say, 80 acres, and they can plant 3 crops a day and then wait for the market. When the market comes in for a farmer, the prices go down because everybody's coming in with their, they have something to put in the silo and so on. But then the prices go down. So what he does is he gets all this, puts it in the silo, and then he keeps it until the prices are double, no, even triple, because there's no grain left because everybody ate up the good stuff first, and now his good stuff is the only stuff. So he's clever. You think you got that from God. How many of God will give you wisdom even in business? And so he had wisdom. His kids get 3 meals a day, which no one does in Africa. 3 meals a day, and we've all seen it. Lynn has been there. Scott has been there. Julia's been there. All these people have gone there, and you can see they're not only healthy, they're happy. They're Muslim by background. So during the Civil War, which lasted long time, 20-some years, more. And so this war was jihad in a certain place, and then it was terrorism in Uganda. So it's jihad up north, and today those countries are divided. That country north of them is in the Bible. That's all the people that were black, and they decided some are Christian from the south, and so somebody close to me here had an influence on our politics, and we said, you need to divide off the south from the north. Where is all of the gold? South. Where is all the silver? South. Where is all the oil and gas? South. But all the refineries? North. That happens in Nigeria. It happens everywhere you go. These people are clever. They're people of the world. And they care more about, making a big profit off of you that grow all of that stuff and refined all that stuff. Interesting. So they're still poor today. And who gets all those profits? The president. The presidents are corrupt. And I was just there in Sudan, South Sudan. I was just there last year, 2019. And I had been also in 2019 in same place, Uganda. And so they're kind of, the countries are connected. So the northern part is Sudan up all the way up. But now the southern part is where all this wealth is, but they can't have it. And the people griped and they complained and they murmured and they were angry at their president who was corrupt. And so when I went there, God said, now make sure you rebuke them because they're Christians. 30 members of parliament, all Christians. 30 members of parliament, 3 days. I got to speak 3 days to them. And I said, the first thing on the first day, first thing is I don't want to hear any more griping and complaining and murmuring. And I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. You are Christians. Do not look to America. Do not look to Europe. Do not look to the EU. Don't look to the UK. Don't look to anybody. Because I knew their history. And I knew you've been at this now 9 years, and you have done nothing because you did not look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the leader at my table, with all the other people that were in the group, he said to him, I like what that man said. That's the truth. We need to look to Jesus and not completely bawling out one guy as though he were the problem. Put your trust in the Lord. I like that. I love that. So I had lunch with him. I like that. I like that guy because he had one leg gone because of the war. And but everybody respected this guy. And he'd been out 9 months. This is the first time he came back, the very first day. And he was then the head of the whole thing because everybody looked at him as the leader. So that was powerful. I'm just trying to tell you, everything in the Old Testament is exactly the same as the New Testament. He never preached the law for anyone to fulfill in Israel. He only preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal gospel that from the foundation of the world before it. Before that, not from it, before it. That thing was older. And because of that, I realized, wow, God's in charge. God's God. There's no one else good but God. Now, many people in America today have a choice. You can just go with those that are lawless. And there's lawlessness everywhere. But I just told you, there are people from the outside that someone paid a lot of money to. And all you got to do is I call them provocateurs. They're provocateurs. And that means you have just a handful in the crowd, but they say, let's break the windows and let's do this and fire and bomb and all that kind of stuff. Well, those are just but then everybody else joins in because they have white guilt and they feel you need to do it. Even members of our church here, I know. And they went, they were trying to stand with, you know, let's be on Antifa's side and, you know, Black Lives Matter and so on and so forth. Okay, it's okay. You can do it, but it's foolish. It's foolish because you can't fix up the world. How many know that you cannot fix up your marriage even? Right. I just kind of shifted those. Yeah. So if you can't fix up the world, how are you going to even fix up your own marriage? Because you can't do it without God. Right. And America today doesn't have any God. I mean, they just said the church is, you know, shut down. Okay, it's okay. I mean, I'll suffer. I don't mind suffering. But God made a way when there was no way, and we now have, you know, three or four times the people that we ever had in Dallas and Fort Worth all combined together. And the last week was the first time we met in Dallas. Dallas, still, the hotel won't give us, you know, we paid for it a whole year. And so we certainly should have a right, since we prepaid everything, to, you know, use the room. But we can't use the room. But I met with three people. And David Halverson was one of them. And so me and David let two other guys, and that's it. And we had to stay outside because you couldn't be inside because you breathe on people and so on and so forth, spit on, whatever. And preachers, when they preach, they spit. They actually spit. And when Robert preached, they stood two pews back because he was a real spitter. He wasn't even apologizing for it because he was a king's son. But you know what? God is using Robert to change the world. It's amazing. And so we always loved each other, but Robert was more active in loving. I was less. Because my natural habit is to be like Julia. And Danny called her evil. And I was like that. And that nailed her. You just nailed her right there. But she has faith in Jesus, so that's just superficial. How many know that God will never judge you for your sins? He's only going to judge you for your heart. Does your heart believe that God will keep his promise? That's Christianity. Christianity is not, did you behave? Did you do a good work? Did you pay God back? You can't pay God for giving you a gift. How many know if it's a gift, you don't pay for gifts? Little kids at Christmas, oh, mommy, this cost $14.32. I'll pay you back. How many know you can't? If it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. You don't pay for gifts. That's why it couldn't be the law. Because in the law, you owe this one, they did this. You owe them the same thing. So God saved you, pay him back because you're appreciative. Do something for him. The whole world is like that. The whole entire world is payback time. Everything's free. In heaven, you don't need money. There are no taxes in heaven. Yoo-hoo! That'll be worth it right there. Because it isn't just that you owe the money. It's that you have to be timely about it, and you have to use the right forms about it, and you have to know all the formulas and stuff like that. I mean, and then if you don't, you're fined. I could tell you a lot of stories. But anyway, because I've had to pay the fine many times, and you do kind of learn from that. You know what? You can even owe a credit card, but You can even get away with some of that, but not the government. Because they can take your house, they can take your car, they can take everything they have. Wow, that's power. But I also learned, don't argue with them. Do not argue with them. Say you're sorry. So, did you ever learn that? So people that say, I'm free, I can do what I want. That's great. I love it. Go for it. I'm not going to join you. So I pay all my taxes. In fact, I prepay. I overdo it so that I have all the money just sitting there. And I'd rather then pay rather than argue, because they have Harvard lawyers, the best. And they write all of their stuff, the best. And so it's hard, even though you're right, you're wrong. Even though the Bill of Rights says they can't do it, they do it. And so power, that's something in the world, power. But I like the power of God. So I'm going to go with the power of God. How many here are totally happy all the time? One, two, three. Did you have four, five, six, seven, eight, nine? Thank you, Lord. Carmen, did you raise your hand?
No, I
didn't. No, you just, did you even do your finger like that? No. I haven't seen Carmen. I mean, I don't, how many years? 10, 15, 20? Long time. So it's a joy to see you. It's too powerful. How many know that God never lies? Ever. I mean, he would cease to be God. If God lies, you're in trouble. But he can't. I mean, he wouldn't be God. The only thing about God is that he keeps covenant. When he makes a covenant, he keeps that covenant. And my whole life now, foolishly, because I don't have a lot of evidence for it, foolishly, I believe anything that he says. If God says it, it's over. I don't even question it. I don't question. I don't say, well, I don't understand that. I don't say any of that to God. Say whatever, you know, you say it. Even if I'm wrong, you'll forgive that. Right, right, right. Okay. And so I just do what he says. I don't want a rhema. I don't want a miracle. I don't want any signs and wonders and so on. I just do it. I'm kind of like the IRS, you know, just the same thing. Pay them ahead of time. Make sure that you don't get caught. Same thing at the bank. If I have a bank account and so on, I always have a lot of money in there that allows them not to charge me even for 14 cents or something. Mm-mm. I don't want to pay any fines or anything. I don't want to be indebted to anyone. Owe no man anything. It says in the Bible, except love. So Peggy and I, you can ask her, Peggy and I love each other. We love being with each other. We love being physically with each other. I mean, it's wonderful. Why? Because love is not a feeling. It's something that you do, but actually Jesus does it. So we're both like that. That's powerful. That's powerful. And so we could, you know, we could say, I used to say, Peggy, because I was bad to you so many years. She said, how many? I don't know, 20, okay, probably 25. And so, would you now forgive me? He said, because I'm confessing the sin. Confessing to you. She said, no. Well, I'm asking you. I said, give me a chance here. No. Why? What do you want? 25 years. Well, so but if you add, you know, we were married at such and such age in the 20s, and now it'll be 50 years. We'll be in our 70s or something like that before we're on the same page. Good. She said, good. Well, no, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Because he knows you're wanting more than 25. You probably keep going like that. I'd be dead. Yes. And heard God say, yes. So I said, okay, abuse me for 25 years. But then after 15 years, she went someday and she said, you know what, Jim? What? I know you're a Christian. You do? How'd you conclude that? I mean, that is amazing. Because you've always kind of looked down on me as a worthless person, and I am. I admit that. And I deserve everything you can give me. I don't have any problem with that. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here, but maybe you're about to be married or you're married. So be careful. Because anyway, so she had then, after 15 years, she said, I know you're a Christian right now. So then do you, like, forgive me? No. Oh, but you said I was a Christian now, and you've been wanting that, I guess, to be a Christian. Now I have a God, and I obey God. I know, I believe you. But I'm still not going to forgive you for what you did. Well, that's kind of mean. I was just naturally wicked. But you are going out of your way to deliberately be wicked. I don't think that's right. It says in the Bible, do you fear God? No. Because she knew I was going to say something else like that. And so, no, I want equal. All right. Okay, well, do what you want to do. But I'm never going to forsake you and leave you. Never. I can love you, and I don't care if you like it or don't like it. I'm going to keep loving you. Wow. She said, okay, that's good. Keep it up. So that was good. How many know this marriage would not have worked without God? Because God told me to say that, and I said it. And then I realized, you know why people divorce? I know exactly why. So I'm not going to judge anybody for doing whatever they do. I'm just going to go with God. God, this is me alone. God, I think she wants more attention than I want to give her. But I realize that's not true because I deserve everything I get. I'd rather have it here than there, you know, so let's do it right now. And could you take care of her if I just choose you instead of her? And I heard God say, nothing. I didn't hear anything. But I thought in my mind, yes. So that's what I thought. So I thought in my mind, yes. God said yes, even though he didn't say yes. But since you love me, then have her, you know, keep her. I can't. I'm not a good keeper. I'm not a promise keeper. So I'm not going to do anything. But then, 15 years later, I told you, then she said, I know you're a Christian now. I thought that would settle it, but that didn't. But anyway, I kept leaving it, going, say, God, don't you think 15 years is better than 25? You know, it's like, you know, there it is. She knows I'm a Christian. So she knows I'm real. So, okay, I'll just keep it up. And so when I did, how many know that when you surrender all? I surrender all. Not that? I like that. But that's just a song. But this is now reality. And I realize, wow, this is death, 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 death. Oh, yeah, Paul said, I die daily. I understood that. I die daily. So I'm dying daily. I love it. But then all of a sudden, we fell in love. It wasn't that she changed, I changed. But I didn't change by doing anything. It's just if she says, take the garbage out, just really, I'll just take the garbage out. You know, could you do that? Yeah, I'll do it. And so on. So now I am a nothing. I'm a nothing. I'm no longer the boss. I'm no longer in charge. I just let Jesus take care of everything. He's good. He's good. How many know that I'm solving some marriage problems that are here today? What, right. Why? Because as Christ loved the church, every man love his wife. And that's a description, not a prescription. It's not a prescription of what you ought to do, should do, might do. This is a description of who you are in Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't keep your eyes on your wife. Don't check her out. Don't do anything. If she says it, do it. Not do it to abuse, because she might say something that's wrong. And I always say it, but I say it softly. I think what you're doing is wrong. But I never then cash in on that, because I just say it and then walk away. That's better than arguing about it. How many know arguments can go on and on and on? So you don't want to argue about that. You just tell the truth and leave it. It'll set you free. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus and not look at my fruit out here. I'm not going to look at my marketing system. I'm going to look only at Jesus, the source. So he's the source of all your happiness, all your joy, all your peace, all your favor. Everything that happens to you is a gift of God. He is the only giver. No one else is a grantor. No one else can you trust. He is the one that owns it all, has it all, and everything is for you to be blessed. Now, I could read this whole thing in Deuteronomy, but I already showed it how it will end up mitzvah. That is, totally trust that this is a promise God will keep. Don't take your eyes off of that. Clay, that's powerful. That's powerful. Because now I have nothing going for me except God keeping his promise. And I can't force him. I cannot make him do it. God, you know you promised. He doesn't even like that. I'm just holding you to your word. You said right early. I was up at 4. You were up at 3? Okay. Well, I was up at 4. I thought that was right early. Do you have a sundial? What do you have up there? Because right early sounds like right early. And you know that you're trying to fool me. You said right early. And I fasted for 3 days, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I realized you can't negotiate with God. He's like a terrorist. You can't negotiate with him. How many know that? A lot of people are trying to negotiate with him. Yeah. But they're paid off. I don't know if you know it. China pays off lots and lots of people. Do you know that? Well, it's the news behind the news. I'm just telling you, these people are totally in bondage. And you know the last thing that God will ever do on the earth is destroy Israel. What do you mean? Well, I don't mean what you think I meant. I'm not just double talking. I'm just simply saying, if you read it by the gospel, that's good news. If you read it by the law, it's not. So I read it by the gospel is good news without question. Just don't question it. Because if you do everything God says, because he does it, you didn't does it. He does it. When he does it, to God be the glory. So what's he going to do? When he gets all the glory, what's he going to do? He'll give it to you because you're his inheritance and he's my inheritance. So that's equal right there. So he's my temple and I'm his temple. I dwell in him. He dwells in me. It doesn't matter which one's first. They work. He's first. He initiates this thing because he cannot lie. And I totally rely on the stars in the sky and the sand of the sea and the dust of the earth. We're going to have more kids than he does. We win. How many know the best has been saved to the last? Couldn't be any better. Couldn't be any better. Did you know that God right now looks at things differently? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. You know that. God, he always rigs everything so you're always blessed. And he is always the one that carries the burden. Whew, I like that God. I like God that actually does everything and gives me all the blessing. I like that. That's why I'm happy all the time. Psychologically happy. I'm not just happy after I get mad. I mean, I'm not just happy about that. At first, I say, kill him, or something like that. Somebody gets to Dallas before I do. I want to block them before they come. I can see them a mile back. They're going to be in this lane. I'm going to be in this lane. And then they'll be slowed down. And then I got to Dallas first. How many know there's still a little sin in me? Little bit, just a little bit of sin in me. And so I'm... And if they're going 75, I'll go 85. How many know that that's a sin? I mean, that's evil. Alex, you don't do that, do you? Thank you. And so, since there's a lot of sin, and I'm not going to look at my sin, I'm going to look at my Savior and say, God, you need to do whatever you need to do. I'll take it. Whatever offer you take, I trust you. I'll keep my eyes on you. And God does do that. God does do that. Did you know that the love of God is greater than anything in this world? The love of God, the unconditional, no condition of love can change you in a moment. That's amazing. So even though I sinned not from my heart, but from my soul, I know that that's not lasting because Jesus said these words, "The good work I began in you, I began, not without your help, I began in you, I will surely complete it." That's good news, Carmen. Because he can clean up any mess. There's darkness in this world, but he's the light. And now we're the light. You're the light of the world. The world would not even be here if my light wasn't here. It'd be destroyed. So the best is yet to come. It hasn't yet happened till Jesus comes back a second time. Then you'll have a new heart, new soul, new body, Christ-like in every way. Wow. That's amazing. That's better than working for him. That's better just to enjoy your blessings, Betsy. I know you enjoy his blessings every day. And because of that, he's never going to change his mind. Because the harvest is always ripe and the laborers. Did you know that anyone who's a Democrat today, I'm just joking here, who's a Democrat today could be converted in a second? You know what the problem is? That the Republican Bible believers and so on and so forth are really not hot. So the problem is in the church. It's not the world needs to change to us. It's that we need to change so that God can be seen in us rather than just talk. They need the walk. And if they don't have the evidence, they don't see that you're hot, then you can make the lukewarm hot and the cold hot. So God, in the end of the Bible, chapter 3, it names all the churches of the world, all of them. And it says, this is the church of Laodicea, or Dicea. Laodicea means that the people, laos, the lay people, not the pastors, not nice people pretending. This is the people, and what are they going to do? Do righteously. That's a promise. That is a promise. Because if you look at the people, they don't seem to be doing righteously. As I just said about myself. I don't seem to be, but you're looking at the wrong thing. So don't judge me because I'm not the judge. So I'm liable to be lenient with sinners because I was always a sinner and I enjoyed it. That's bad. That's a double bad, Betsy. I think when you did wrong, you knew it was wrong. When I did wrong, I didn't care. But today, I'm a Christian, but it's just by faith. But tomorrow I'll see it, just like Job. In the land of the living, with these eyes, I will yet see God. And he came in a whirlwind. And he came in a whirlwind. And he was saying, I'm going to clean you up. You're not ready right now, even though you think you're righteous. I have to kill all the unreligion in you. That is bad religion. And you thought you were holy. Your holiness doesn't please me. I want you to let me be your God. And he said, I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear. Now I've seen you with the seeing of the eye. Remember that? Job said, and I don't even know how he could say it. Yet I will see God in the land of the living. So someday we'll all see God. And I think it's in this time. I think we're very near. I think we're very close. But there's still, you know, thousand years or more. So, I hope you're happy. How many of you are heaven-bound? You're a heaven dweller. You dwell in heaven. You don't dwell on earth. Earth dwellers perish. But here's the thing to do with earth dwellers. Pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. Benefit them. Do good for them. Never curse them. Never. No curses in the New Testament. No curses. No, none. So never curse your enemies. Pray for China. We did today. Iran. Pray for these people. Why? Because they're just humans like we are. They're just simply humans like we are. They're ignorant of the gospel. They don't even know it because they don't see it in our lives. We're just talking. They want to see it. They don't go by faith. They go by sight. So they're trying to see a hot church realize, why did you do what you just did? Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Everything is acceptable to God. As long as you do it by faith, someday you'll do it by sight. What you believe today, you'll see tomorrow. So I believe Luke 21 says this. When you see these things, I'll close with this. When you see these things, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Next thing on God's agenda. It's not literal. It just means the real thing that's coming. The destruction of Israel, but then only the priests will survive. Malachi 3:3. Only the priests. And the priests then live among all the 12 tribes of Israel, so they will renew the tribes of Israel, not only to have their physical land, but to have spiritual land. Because they're priests. And if you broke the Mosaic laws, their commands, and everybody does, if you do that, then you have to have hope. So a turtle dove, maybe, if I'm poor, or a goat, or a lamb, or something. I need to offer him something, a bull or something. Those are all things that could die in your stead, but that time is over. The time is over. So now you can't do it, but they will do it again. I'm telling you right now, they're going to do it again. During the millennium, when Jesus comes back again, he will then have us in heaven with him in heavenly places, in the mid-heavens, not on heaven. This the mid-heavens. And you, thou, married to Jesus, and he's already sent the beast and the false prophet into hell before they go into the lake of fire. And when he comes back again, that'll be done. Because he'll forgive all Israel. All Israel will be saved. But the Israel is not the Israel. It's just the Israel that doesn't believe. Israel, that's a bad one. But the Israel that believes, that's a good one. So God will save all people in Israel that are the true Israel. And all people in Israel that aren't, pray for them. The true Israel can pray for the bad Israel. You understand what I'm saying? Christians the same, pagans the same. This world is ready. It's ripe. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest and you'll see it. Lift up your heads. Do not look down. Do not be depressed because you see wicked. No. See that the end goal of all of this, all of everything that's going on, is God wins. God wins. And if he wins, you win. That's it. That's powerful. Mitzvah. One word. Same Old Testament, New Testament. Read the Old Testament. Every Christian needs to read the Old Testament. You need to read Deuteronomy, and you need to read it with the eyes of faith. If you do, your spirit is greater than any Jewish scholar, any Jewish person. Don't matter how they sound sincere and, you know, they're always there, you know, bowing before the wall and all that kind of nonsense. It's nonsense because you can't do a good work to pay God off. It's free. We have that good news. We've been pardoned. And when the warden calls you down from your cell and you're standing there and you realize that what you did was bad, you can't lie to him because he just said these words. Call your wife. You're free. What? No, I thought I was in for life. No, you're not. I just call your wife. And then you do it. And it, I mean, you're just like, I thought I was, I've been in four times. I thought I was finished. No, you're free. Go home. I have my ideas of why that happened, but you're not supposed to go after three times. But he did. Because I said to him, you'll be out in a few months. Why? Because you're a Christian. So I'm going to give you this advice behind the glass. I was behind the glass. That person would have killed me if they were not behind the glass, because he's a murderer. And he said to me, I hated you when you said that. This is after he's free. I hated you when you said that, and I wanted to kill you without even pay. You know, because what you said is, don't see anything, don't hear anything, be an ordinary person. Don't do anything. I said, that's why I hated you, because you told me what I don't want to hear. And there you gotta survive that jungle. And he was aware of what he could see. He saved this guy. This is true. He saved his members of church. He saved this guy. He was 350 pounds, and they called him Bubba. So in prison, Bubba actually runs the whole show, not the warden. And so Bubba got saved because this guy was on the lower bunk, and Bubba wouldn't give up the upper bunk because he had that thing sagging all the way down. And this guy was looking at that and was realizing, God, if you're real. And so he jumped out of bed. Bubba, get down here. Bubba woke up cursing this guy. Get down here. I have something to tell you. He said, I'm a Christian. And I know you need Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And Bubba fell to his knees and said, my grandmother said that. And I've been bad. And he then became a Christian right on the spot. And so the next day he went out when the cells were open and he said, everybody in this cell right here, and Bible study, be here. And they all crowded in. I think the warden knew about that. I don't know that. This is my guess. Because all of a sudden, he calls him down. He's set free. That's powerful. How many know the Bible still works? Jesus is on every page of the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. John 5. This is my last ending. John 5 says something like this. That Moses wrote of me. In other words, everything Moses wrote, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all those five books of the Bible called Torah, instruction. Moses wrote of me, and he preached the gospel, but he was writing all about me. And so I preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he wrote of me. And if you had believed his writings, you would believe me today. But you are of your father, the devil. You don't have any love for God. Wow. That's amazing that Jesus saw that in the New Testament and Abraham saw his day. And this thing that Moses wrote after that, he saw his day too. Everything that he ever wrote was about Jesus Christ. So same doctrine. It's not anything changed. Mitzvah. Say it. Mitzvah or mitzvah. It means what? Set it in order. Put everything back in order. It's not in order. Jesus will not come back until the church is in order, Scott. Not going to do it. We're not his church. If you're not his church, you're not his church. And he won't defend what's not his, because he remembers exactly when he saved me 48 years ago, and all of a sudden I knew I was going to die every day. I knew from now on, Jesus is God. He's in my heart. Jesus, his son, is in my heart. And now Jesus, every day, wants to kill me. Wants to kill me until my flesh is gone, and now I can love my neighbor as myself.